So if you look at the vision for North American continent, I just want to go over this and just let you see an overview of what the things that the Lord has been doing. And God has been revealing the following to us. And please pray with us that God continues to reveal his plan. So we just wrote the vision down. This is not all conclusive. This is an ongoing vision like it is for all of your continents. And starting off with last October at a gathering in Tacoma in Washington, Johnny Embo had a word that the Northeast USA and Canada would be opened up to a fresh wind of healing and that the breath of God would blow. And I believe I've just been in Vancouver for a visit, and I saw the start of that fresh wind beginning to blow. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is blowing on the work that all of us are doing. And he wants to do fresh things and new things. You know, I'm really from a past generation. And I see all this, the things we're doing, as for the next generation, trying to set it up for the next generation to carry on. We can't do it. So we're believing God for a total fulfillment of that prophecy, that the wind would continue to blow. And there are three countries in the North American continent: it's Canada, America, and Mexico. And squeezed in the middle is the U.S. And we have been praying about the U.S., and Cheryl and the U.S. team has a vision for reaching out to their neighbors. It's just like really being at home, all nice and comfortable, and then you have neighbors on either side, and you want to reach out to them, don't you, with the things God has been showing you. And so we want to reach out with them with a vision for the work of ASK. And I want to tell you that when we first started doing this, we went to Ottawa. It was June of 2013, and we spent a week up there with the National House of Prayer. And my question was, is there really room for another, you know, ministry? And we met with the various leaders of ministry, prayer ministry, in Ottawa. And, you know, we talked with them about our vision, and we found out there really wasn't anybody there meditating and praying the word of God to pray for the country. The prayer ministries, they all have their particular focus, and of course they believe the word, but not the particular focus that we have. And so we talked with, you know, a couple of people up there who are in leadership, and we came to the conclusion that yes, there is a word, there is a place for a vision of ASK ministry. There is a place, because as one leader said to me of a prayer movement, he said there's a plethora of prayer ministries in Canada. And I was like, oh, am I wasting my time, you know? But I felt like God, I really wanted to hear from God that we weren't just spinning our wheels and trying to do something that, you know, was not needed. And so from the foundation of that work in Canada, that week in Canada, we have been able to build, and it's an ongoing process, as I said. So the vision that we have right now is the USA is a lighthouse or beacon shedding its rays to its neighbors in the north and south. And Matthew 5:14 talks about a city set on the hill. And then Isaiah 60, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come. And we believe the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. And we did mention mention here that for each of these countries, the relationship of Israel to each of these countries is an important part of the vision. And I think God gave us, I felt like, a new mandate to pray for Israel from the things that we have heard over these last days. And you know, one of the things that was said, that what's yet to happen in Israel, and they said they need the Holy Spirit, and God is birthing something in us. Don't you feel that? He's birthing something in all of us, and in the continents and the countries which we represent. And we are part of the spiritual restoration of Israel, because we are people who will pray, right? I was excited when he talked about China just now and the things that were happening. Yeah. And I thought back to those first missionaries, you know, a lot of them from England who went there. They prayed and they laid a foundation in that country. USA, you know, the women representing our groups here have prayed earnestly over the years for China, and now there's some fruit. And so I was very, very encouraged by that. Also, Anton, he talked about the Hebrew word for womb, and he said the word mercy, it comes from a woman's womb. It means the mother's womb, the place of birth. And we have just heard a lot about wombs, haven't we, over this time. And so I got to thinking about, well, what is the womb? You know, what does it represent? Well, God wanted the womb to represent a place of mercy. He wanted it to represent a place of safety. And that was his intention, and to bring forth new life. But the secular view of the womb, it's a different place. It's a place of inconvenience. It's a place of judgment, where we judge what's in the womb, judge it not good. It's a place of rejection and a place of death. But, you know, when God begins to birth something, He does it, and I believe that He is birthing something new in us. Birthing is a hazardous business, as all of you know, who've been through the process. Anybody not been through the process of birth? Some of you are birthers. ERS. But, you know, we're part of that process, and we are to come in the opposite spirit of the world, and everything that we do, you know, is in the opposite spirit, so that we don't have to look at things through the eyes of the world. And that is so reassuring. I want to tell you a little about that when I talk about our visit to Vancouver, because if we look at things through the eyes of the world, it's very disconcerting. But when we look at things through the eyes of the Spirit, through the eyes of the Lord and what He has for us, you know, we are energized. He gives us what we need. In fact, He gives us more than we need, right? That's what He said He would do. So I hope you all believe it. So, you know, we're going to be forerunners and intercessors to see God bring restoration to Israel, us and our continent. And I just saw this picture of, you know, Canada and US and Mexico praying for Israel and the strength of that. But also you can probably see the picture too of your nations praying for Israel. Cheryl had a vision of Canada, and just while we've been here, and it was like a scroll being unrolled and there's nothing on it. You know, and we were to write on that scroll, and the Lord was going to reveal what was to be written on that scroll. So God is going to use us. He's going to use Jew and Gentile, all of us. Isn't that wonderful? There's really no difference. We are all the same. And throughout the Word, He has used Jews and Gentiles to fulfill His promise. And also then, we were built on again. We had some more things to build on last night. As that young woman, what was her name? Rania. Yeah, she was just wonderful, wasn't she? But she talked about, you know, the partnering and talking about the Arab woman. And at the end there, did you see how, you know, God just moved to bring ask to come alongside? And there were promises made there last night that we would come alongside the Arabs. And I believe that we really need to take note of these things that God has been speaking and bring them into our territories and do the things that he is asking us to do. And partner in prayer for the Arab nations. That was a promise made while people were up here tonight. And I think we need to take that very seriously, that we don't break that promise, us and our continent. And, you know, Stuart, he stood up there and sang that lullaby. That was straight from the Lord, because that was a thing of comfort. And remember how in the word it says, comfort ye my people. That was running through my head, that song from the Messiah. I wish we'd had someone to sing that. But that's what I felt, you know, when Stuart was doing that. It was something that was given straight from the Lord. And also, talking about the womb, remember the three places, the three wounds that she was talking about? And they were Nazareth, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem. And so we have a mandate to pray that the womb would be open, that there would be new life and not death. And so that's something God has given us to do. So I want to transition. Oh no, I didn't finish doing the... some of the things that the vision, God showed us in the vision to do, was that we are to have open doors from the USA to share the vision in these countries. And Psalm 121, the Lord will presence will go with us. He will preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And that's one of the promises the Lord gave us. Also, to invite contacts to gatherings in these open doors for the USA. Word of mouth is the best invitation. And that was John 1, verses 45 and 46. That was, there was a mistake there, so correct that if you will. That was Philip and talking to Nathanael. And Nathanael said, is anything good coming out of Jerusalem? And he said, come and see. And my husband, he's not here today, but he's been part of this vision. And one of the things that he has always said, that we need to ask people to come and teach people to ask people to come to meetings. Mm-hmm. And that we need to reach out. And that's what Philip did with Nathanael. Come and see. Also, strategic leadership has been developed in the USA and will be part of the vision in each of the three countries. And this involves the next generation and the church. And there are some verses in Haggai which refer to the Jewish people coming back after they had been left the country. You know, they were on their way back. And some of the things that happened, the transition of these people. And they were coming back, and God wanted them to build the temple. They didn't want to build the temple. You'd think they would have learned, wouldn't they? After, you know, being under in captivity in Babylon, here they were saying, they asked them to come and build the temple, but they were too busy building their own homes, building their own life, doing their own thing. And so they said, no, this is not the time. I'm just trying to tell you this very quickly. We can go through the scripture verse by verse, but we don't have a lot of time. This is all in Haggai 1, if you want to go back and read it. And so they said, no, it's not time. And in verse 5, the prophet said to them, consider your ways. Think about your ways. what you are doing. You know, they were really saying no to what God wanted. God was asking them to build the temple, and they didn't want to do it. And so they were not prospering. There was nothing working in their lives. And yet they still wanted to go their way. And so in verse 9, it says, "You looked for much, and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord? Because the house of mine is waste, and you run everyone to his own house." And really, it was just saying, well, you just want to do your own thing, don't you? You're doing your own thing, and it's not working. It's like a bag full of holes. Everything is just going out the other way. And nothing was working for them. And so things began to change, though. And the interesting thing is that the change came through the next generation. And I want you to want to read to you from Haggai 1, verse 14. And these are the changes, I believe, that we want to see in our continent and probably you. "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of the host, their God." See what was happening? The Lord stirred up the spirit. They were the leaders, but they were also the spirit. They were the next generation. One was the son of the governor, and the other one was the son of the high priest. Isn't that something? And so God was working in the next generation to stir the spirit up in them. And I believe that this is something we really need to take note of because of all the things that have happened in this time together. God, do you believe God has been stirring your spirit? Anybody?
Yeah.
He's been stirring your spirit. Most of you are in leadership. And so if he's stirring our spirit, then he's going to stir the people that we are connected with. You know, I believe that we have the anointing to go back and share with the people that we are, you know, concerned with, that we're working with, share the vision with them, and allow, and you know, that allows God to begin to stir their spirit. He stirred the spirit of the leaders, then he stirred the spirit of the people. Does that make you want to jump?
Yeah.
Most of you look kind of half asleep. It's a hard time of day, isn't it? But we need to be stirred by that, so that we can see things happen. Allow the Lord to do it. And when God begins to stir our vision, it's easy. You know, my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
My burden is light.
True.
Yeah. And so, you know, we don't have to do it. He does it. He just uses us as an instrument. And he prepares the way. And so that's what happened. And the ultimate result of that, the temple was built. And then in chapter 2, let me just read the last bit of this. "The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord. And in this place I will give peace." And God had told them to be strong and work. And the result of that was the glory of the Lord came down and there was peace. I love that. So, you know, as you've allowed the Lord to stir your spirit, then expect that stirring to continue in the groups to which you belong. And so the work in, and the other one in chapter 2, the ultimate result of it, the Lord's glory would be evident, that God loves to bless us. And that was, God had given that word to my husband, and he wanted it to be over our work, that God loves to bless us. So when we're asking him to help us with the work, we're coming to someone who really wants to just pour it on, you know? How many of you got grandchildren?
Yeah.
Don't you just want to give them anything and everything? When our grandchildren come to our house, they were there at Easter, and the father of one of them, he was saying, "Well, I promise, you know, you've got this, you've got it, you can have screen time for so long." And I just came in with, you know, I said, "Oh, can't you have a bit of mercy?" I said, "This is Nanma's house. Rules at Nanma's house are different from home, you know." And that's what I say to the kids when they come. You have rules here at my house, you know, have fun, have a great time and all the rest of it. When you go home, you can go and do whatever your parents tell you. You need to do what they, but here, you just do what I want you to do and let's have fun. But you know, that's really what our Heavenly Father is like, isn't it? He just loves to pour it on, to bless us. And so when we're contemplating, you know, our continence, the work which God has given us to do, let's just take the pressure off ourselves and release the Lord to bless us and allow that just to flow through from us. And, you know, people will see if you're relaxed and just, you know, expecting God to bless, they'll have a few expectations too, and looking to God to do something also. So I just want to tell you about our visit to Canada and our visit to Vancouver. We had a rather wonderful time, and it was interesting when I went there, I went on my own, and I wasn't expecting anything much, and I say that to my shame, because I just had a note from Priscilla, you know, she was our contact there, and she said, "Well, what's going to be like that? You're going to meet with the brothers." And I was thinking, "Oh, brother, who are the brothers?" You know? I sort of, I just went, you know, because I knew God wanted me to go. And Billy Graham once said, he wrote it in his last book about growing old. It's an appropriate book for me to read at this stage of life. But he said, "Growing old has been the greatest surprise of my life." And so, but I want to relate that to going to Vancouver. It was a surprise. It was great. And do you know what surprise means? It means wonder. It means astonishment by something or sudden, unexpected, remarkable, wonderful event. And I love it. And I believe that, you know, God wants us to live in that childlike sort of expectation of what he can do in our midst, but also in our territories, in our continents. So he wants us to be surprised at what he does, not what we're desperately working to achieve in our own strength. Have you ever been there? Oh, worked hard to make things happen, and oh my. I can remember so many Sundays when, you know, come home Sunday night, I think, "Phew, thank the Lord, that's over," you know? I can see some people relate to that, yeah. But, you know, when we allow the Lord to surprise us, we're moving in his anointing. And this is what he did while we were in Canada, in Vancouver for that time. It was just a few weeks ago, really. And it was wonderful because the ladies from Washington area, we had some ladies come up, and they came alongside us. They prayed so much, and really the seeds of this was in a conversation at one of our gatherings in America. And I had been thinking about Canada, thinking what to do, and I was talking to Valerie one day, and we talked and became excited, and then we thought, "Just do it!" So I said, "Right, I'll get a date." And the date didn't work. Valerie wasn't there, so we thought, "Ah, okay." So we thought, "Okay, we get another date without Valerie." Mount Sims, we didn't need Valerie.
No offense. I was in your pocket.
And I just want to add that little thing that, you know, when you're at these conferences, you know, just be aware that some of our conversations are prophetic.
Yeah.
And as you talk to people, you know, God is at work. Expect God to be at work. And you never know what's going to come out of some of these conferences.
Yeah.
You know, just from... not even the speakers, just from conversations you have among each other. And, you know, the seeds of some great things are just start in a small place. How many of you know how churches, have any of you ever started churches? We started a few. But, you know, when they start, often the seeds of it is just around a table or in a living room or in a restaurant. Anyone relate to that?
Yeah.
Just a few people, yeah. Wouldn't it be, you know, you don't know what you're getting yourself in for. But, you know, I think as we think of ask and the vision God has given us, let us think about our relationships with each other and what God wants to do as far as our conversations with each other, because we're supposed to be encouraging one another, aren't we? And as we encourage one another, it gives us courage to go and do what God wants. So that conversation gave me courage. All right, let's do it. So we did. And we knew that God would work, but you know, the expectation was low. How many of you ever remember an evangelist called Ivor Powell? Anyone of you ever heard of him? Not even the English people. He was Welsh. But he came, you haven't heard of him, Stuart? Oh. You have. Ivor Powell. Yeah, he ended up in Santa Barbara. But anyhow, he came to New Zealand and he just changed the nation. You know, he just spoke in the churches and was just such a great blessing in the nation. But he wrote a book called We Saw It Happen. And I think all of us could write a book saying, We Saw It Happen, are the things that God is writing into our lives and the lives of those with whom we come in contact. And so when I got to Canada, I spoke at a church there, and I think it was the minister's wife, it was, she came up to me and she had a word, and she said, there are no boundaries in the spirit. And this was in relation to ask. And she said, there will be much crisscrossing backwards and forwards across the land. And it's like a train. And the one vision my husband had had from the beginning was of us getting on this train and going in and, you know, popping off the train and going off and sharing the ask vision and then getting back on and going on. I said, do you know how much that would cost? But I think it was a vision in the spirit of what God can do. Maybe not. He's laughing. We'll see. But, you know, across the land, expensive, but that's all right, God's got plenty of money, right? And that's another point I want to bring up, that God provides for everything that is needed. You know, don't restrict your vision because of lack of finances. You know, we come from the English chintzy background, and you're always trying to save a penny, you know. But, you know, God is generous, and he just will make a way for us. If he has called us to do something, he... Huh? Stingy.
Absolutely
chocolate. Well, yeah. Scottish. Oh, well... Stuart, Scottish. That's even worse. Yeah. Well, I have...
Keep going.
Oh! I have an English background, so that's why I'm saying that, so I'm not making fun of the English, because I am English. Yeah. Yeah, so where was I? Okay. The train, getting off and on, it's pricey, but that's all right. And also part of the prophecy was that the work will go forward from east to west. Now, in my mind, you know, the east coast is over where Vancouver is. And in my mind, right from the start, I'd had the thought that it would go from the west to the east. And, you know, we'd been up in the west and had been up there the year before and spent a week in Canada. And that brings up another point, you know. We think, don't we? We think, well, this is the way it's going to be, but it wasn't. And so God always has a different way. And so when this word came from the east to the west, we are beginning to see the fulfillment of that now. It is from the east to the west. And so, yeah, the first group that we spoke at, that I spoke at when we got there, was all the brothers, as they call them. And I walk into this room, and there's how many? Who was there?
Mary.
80. Yeah, I keep saying 60 or 70, but I think it was more. 80 of them, just all crammed into this room. And they were worshipping the Lord. They loved the Lord. And so I thought, oh, golly, you know, it's not quite what I was ready for. I was just being a little group, and I thought, what have I got to say to these guys, you know? There was one guy there, he'd just arrived, and he was bashed up. He had did you see him? He had a black eye, and he all bashed up around, and probably the police had brought him in. This is a recovery centre. And someone was here, I heard, 2 days ago, who'd been through that recovery centre, and I didn't get to meet them, unfortunately. But that was a redeemed life, because they were in ASK. They came into ASK. Hallelujah. Yeah, so anyhow, I just had to share, you know, I tried to share the meditation that would catch their spirit. And just, you know, when we're in those situations, we just have to follow the Holy Spirit. And often it's just a matter of throwing away our notes and just doing what God is showing us. But anyhow, when we came to the time of meditation, I was just blown away. And we had groups of about four, five, is that right? And the ASK ladies sort of spread themselves around these groups. And we told them, and Liz Stubbs, I think she scrapped the meditation she'd had. She came up with a verse, and so she just said, well, I want you to meditate on 1 John 1 verse 9. You know, she was a school teacher, so she said, 1 John 1 verse 9, if we are faithful, you know, come to the Lord, he'll forgive us our sins, all that sort of thing, you know. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse. Just meditate on that. And so they just had one verse. I think would have been too overwhelming to give them any more. So in these little groups, these men, they caught it. They meditated on the word, and the ones in my group just talked. And this one, you know, he just expanded on what God was showing him. And I said to him, how long have you been a Christian? He said, 1 week.
Wow.
And then they began to pray, and one of them said to me, you know, they pray for the nation of Canada. And one of them, he said to me afterwards, at the end of our time, he said, can you pray for my mother? He said, so that she would understand the things that I understand. And his mother was a drug addict. And so, you know, I prayed with him, and he attached himself to me, and you know, I saw him several times through that visit, and I promised to pray for him and his mother that she would come to know him. But the result of, you know how we say ASK is a networking ministry? Well, the result of that time was that they contacted Priscilla, who was our contact in Vancouver, and they said, would you ask people, pray for us on a regular basis, and can we send you prayer requests? And so that's what there's a new little ask group starting in Vancouver on this Monday, April the 29th, so I'd appreciate your prayers. It's the first group to start, and we're hoping that there'll be groups come out of this men's ministry too. And so, you know, they have a contact, an ongoing networking with that group. And that's what we're all about, isn't it? And they have a big farm and, you know, with all these grow plants and everything. They offered us to take plants home, but I thought the customs wouldn't be too happy about that. And also, Sunday morning I spoke at this church, and one of the things that we had been praying for right from the start was that we would be able to have connections with churches, you know. That's why my husband was strong on that. You know, these preachers, they don't want anyone to come. They want it to be based on the church, and that's right, of course. But is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, these people, these people who come from outside, you know, and people don't know them. And my husband always says, yeah, everyone wants your platform. But anyhow, that's the thing we've been praying for, was that we'd have churches that would embrace the vision of ask and be a covering. And so church I was able to speak at on the Sunday morning there, they were willing to be our covering for ask. And it's out of that church that the first ask group will be started. And so, yeah, this is one of the things that we're praying for, that we'll be able to get to go and speak in churches over in Canada, so that, you know, they would catch the vision, the whole church. You know, the church isn't just old ladies, it's young men, and, you know, and the next generation, young men and women. And that's who we're heading for, isn't it? That's who we're trying to pull in the net. And so that was a great blessing. Also, there was, we went to this church on a Sunday night. It was cold. There'd been snow the morning that I spoke at this church. Everything was blanketed in snow, and I said, oh, we can't go, can we? And she was like an intrepid, you know, Canadian English background. Oh, yes, we're going. So off we went. And lots of churches were cancelled. But anyhow, in the evening, the weather hadn't improved much. It was very cold and the snow around. And I thought, oh, golly, we get to go to church again tonight. And we... Sorry. Look at this thing. We're secular. Secular. So we went to this church, and there were probably 500 people there. It was called Recovery Church. And these buses came, and there were all these recovering drug addicts there. And I was thinking, there's not much going in Canada. And here it was, all these young people, new Christians. They made an appeal. 9 people came to the Lord that awful Sunday night. And they were just, you know, rocking and rolling and singing and just filled with joy. And so I was just so blessed. I was so blessed that I had gone, because, you know, the other thing about Canada, they call themselves a secular nation now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Our country of New Zealand calls itself a secular nation. Does England too? England. Yes. England. Yeah, well, we need to pray, yeah. Because, you know, our countries are part of the Commonwealth, and I think that's why I, you know, relate to the Canadians, because they're part of the Commonwealth, they've all got the Queen, pictures of the Queen everywhere. And, you know, they have a similar background to our work, to our countries. And, you know, in the past, there were traveling preachers coming through Canada and all of these countries. They had a Christian background, colleges were formed, founded on Christian principles. And, you know, in Canada, they acknowledge the Lord in everything they do. The foundation of the country was based on the Word of God. If you go to Parliament, you'll see scriptures engraved in the stone on Parliament building, right in the front and in the walls of their Parliament. And if you, and they don't like it, you know, a lot of, they're calling themselves a secular country, but they can't erase those scriptures that are on Parliament buildings. I love that. Yeah. And I think you see that in England all over the place, don't you? The scriptures in stone. And in Canada, the Canadian Bill of Rights, you know, affirmed that Canada was founded on principles that acknowledge the supremacy of God. They had a Thanksgiving Day proclaimed. Their first Thanksgiving Day was in the 1950s as a general thanksgiving to Almighty God. And but the one thing in Canada that blesses that nation is that they are called Israel's best friend. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, best friend of Israel.
Yes.
And I think God's got a sense of humor because all these secular people. But their prime minister, Stephen Harper, is an evangelical Christian. I mean, he's not perfect. Who is? Like our last speaker was saying, you know, it's not perfect, but God saw that it was good. And so in January, Stephen Harper went to Ariel Sharon's funeral over here, and he brought a whole entourage to show support of Canada when they had his funeral. And, you know, this relationship has been a good relationship, and it's Canada is blessed because of it. Do you know that Canada is one of the 10 best countries to live in the world? And, you know, like our previous speaker was saying, God's prospering the ones that honor God and bless Him. He's prospering that country. New Zealand's one of the best countries to live in the world, too. Just wanted to throw that in. Yeah. So, let me go back a bit. I'm talking about Canada here as far as the history is concerned. When we went to Ottawa in January, June of 2013, we went to this big spectacular on the Sunday night, and the spectacular was showing the history of Canada. And they had all these big lights on the walls of Parliament, all in figures, you know, horses and carts and all the rest, and picture. It was absolutely amazing. And just showing the history from, you know, beginning to end. You know, there was not one mention of anything Christian. Not one. Nothing about the pastors, the missionaries, the Christians who had built that nation. It was all secular. I couldn't believe it. I talked to some other people about it, and they said, well, that's their changes. They're trying to make changes in the country. And they're trying to change the Israel thing too. You know, their prime minister is all very staunchly for Israel. But there's a bit of unrest in that country because they don't want Canada to be a good friend of Israel. So that's something that we can pray about, you know. So God is at work in that nation, and it is blessed because of that relationship, I believe, with Israel. So I also, when I went, going back to Vancouver, I also went to speak to a women's group, and that was a rehab group too. But they heard the word of meditation, and they're hoping for further things to come from that little group too. So the networking has started in that land. It has a long way to go, that it's something God is doing. And I just want to talk briefly about Mexico. There is a relationship between these three countries, as you know, with the government, and also spiritual relationship with Canada, US, and Mexico. When we went, we hadn't been to Mexico yet. We hadn't done a thing there, so it's a need for prayer. But the one thing God showed us was that the border states, that God would raise up people to go from the border states into Canada. So that's a vision that, you know, it's an ongoing vision. Like all of your visions for your territories, it's an ongoing thing. Wow. Time's going quickly. So anyhow, I'll leave that with you. I've just described of the things that we are doing right now as far as Canada is concerned. US is a big part of the vision of the continent. And so I'm going to ask Cheryl, who is the national leader, and ask Cheryl, and she's going to come and share, okay? She's going to share the US bit, and Karen is her great support,
yes.
So they'll be doing it together.
Thank you.
We're going to tag team. We love what the Lord is doing in Canada, and it was kind of the thing that caught us a little bit, I would say, by surprise. But when the Lord opened the door for that, we were so excited, and He's just birthed a thing in our hearts for our fellow continent, our fellow countries, and those in our continent. And I just love the way that we're restructuring and reforming ourselves around a continental basis. And I'll just tell you this briefly. We have some new folks on one of what we call our support team. And they were, one of them was a Canadian. So before any of this really began to come to the surface, the Lord was already at work. And I just want to encourage you with that, that the Lord goes before, and he knows what we have need of before we even ask. And He is awesome at preparing us. So I want to share a little bit. The Lord has put on my heart to share with you about America. And before I do that, I would like for those who are on the national team, I always want you to know that I do not stand here alone, that I represent a team of people that stand together in unity and harmony and in agreement and working together. So if you're on the national team, would you just please stand? I'd just like to acknowledge you. And for clarity's sake, I know Jenny and I were talking about this. If you are from the USA, would you just stand so that we can have kind of, for those of us who are not from, thank you, America, that you can have a feeling, a sense of who is Trump. Now, this is not to show numbers in any way. Do not misunderstand what we're doing. Just that you are able to distinguish who is from what country. So thank you. Thank you. There's so many people coming and going, and I wasn't sure myself who was from where. So I know that might have been a little overwhelming for you, and I apologize if that was. As I was preparing for what the Lord would have us to share with you today, there were three pictures that He put on my heart that I want to share with you. And then we're going to have a time of meditation at the end of a passage that the Lord has really been speaking to us, and I feel like He will use that to really birth something anew, and I love how He's just been preparing our hearts all weekend. The first picture is out of Zechariah 4, if you want to turn there. Now read chapter 4 to us, and I want you to visualize as she's reading what is being described to you. I don't have an image to put up here, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that He's going to give you a picture, an image of what is being described here in the Word of God.
Okay. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and the seven lamps on it, with the seven lips on each of the lampstands. that are on top of it, and there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, who shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward to the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of the small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb lines of the hands of Zerubbabel. These sevens are the eyes of the Lord which drain through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive tree which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth."
You see in this image a picture of a lampstand. This would have been a very common picture for the people of Jerusalem. It was one of the pieces of furniture that was directed by the Lord for Moses to build to put into the tabernacle. But this lampstand has seven branches, three on either side and one being the base. And on either side of this lampstand are two trees, which would be kind of interesting. But out of these trees immediately flow the oil to bring the source of fuel for this lamp to burn. Now, what this picture means to me is the Lord was a passage he brought to me many years and for many times, and felt like I had, as often as he will do with us, he will bring back to us, repeat verses and scriptures in us that speak vision to us continually through different stages. But I began to pray about this, and I felt like the Lord said to me, these two olive trees represent my spirit, and the lampstand is the lampstand of intercession that burns. Seven lamps on the lampstand are the seven spirits of God out of Isaiah 11. And you don't have to turn there. I will read those really quick to you. That is, if I can find Isaiah, it hasn't left. Isaiah 11. "There shall come forth from the stump of Jesse a branch from its root shall bear fruit." This is the key verse. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There shall be a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And I saw how those balanced, and that the main spirit was the resting of the Holy Spirit, that our work is a work of rest in the Holy Spirit. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is us resting in the Holy Spirit. And then you would see how there is wisdom and understanding. And one without the other would not be in balance. And the next would be the spirit of counsel and might. Might without counsel would be disastrous. Counsel without might would be useless. So then you see there is also knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So our intercessions come through this fulfillment of the Spirit of God. And as we lean into and trust the Holy Spirit with what he gives us to intercede for and what to ask him for, it comes through this. We can trust the Holy Spirit that it's going to have the wisdom and the understanding, that it's going to have the counsel and the might, it's going to have the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, as long as we rest in him. So it was a beautiful image of our work and what that looks like to him. In addition, you will remember, and we've now read that passage, there are also these two trees on either side that pump oil. And I was like, as was Zechariah, what? I mean, he repeatedly says, "What are these two?" I won't go into a lot of detail with that. I trust the Lord will reveal things to you on your own about that. But they, some translations say they represent the two that you just mentioned out of Hosea who were going to build the temple, and that was Joshua and Zerubbabel. You have this priest and prophet relationship and role at the place of intercession. And the next thing he began to say, again, Lord, what does that mean? And I felt like he said, it's a picture of ask. It is the worship and the word. And when those come together, it's how we flow in the Holy Spirit in our families of Ask Network. We have our worship and our word, and we flow, come to the place of intercession, and then the Lord is able to burn as that lampstand burns in his throne. It burns with intercession, just as a symbol of what we do. Now, as he began to, I was spending a lot of time enjoying learning all about that and studying that, he begins to say, this means something else to you. And so for us, it became a... So the Lord began to speak to us as a symbol of what our leadership would look like. When I stepped into the place, the role that I am now, we were coming out of a season of being organized in geographically. And we still are to a large part. The United States is made up of 50 states, and we have representations in some of those states, not all of them. But the national team beyond that traditionally had been established in geographical to, you know, make it easier for those people to relate to one another. But Lisa Otis had been hearing from the Lord, instead of focusing on the geographical format that was before us, to look and see the giftings that God had given those that were in our midst. And so we began to see that different ones of us had different ones and different gifts and callings. And through the Lord's help, Lisa and those of us who were with her began to see how we fit into these places. And so out of that formed teams for us. And they all form the national team, but inside the national team, we have six teams at this present time. Hopefully we'll have a seventh at some time when the Lord decides to do that. But it's beautiful how they fit on this lampstand. If the lampstand has the bottom two branches, as it were, then we have nations and generations, which you see fits beautifully with our vision statement, gathering all generations to pray for all nations, asking God to do what only He can do, and doing whatever He asks of us. So we have teams, a team of, Anne leads our generations team, and Tara has been working with our nations team. And the next two branches were the pastoral team, and for now they hold both places. We thought at one time it might be east and west, but, you know, as our best way laid plans of mice and men, it hasn't worked out that way. And so anyway, they represent the pastoral team, who basically have a role of supporting, like NAW represents California for us, and they stay in touch with her. How can we serve you? What needs do you have? How can we equip you and serve you in your place of leadership in representing us inside California? Judy, where are you? Judy is South Carolina. Anne is D.C., Maryland. Lucy used to be Georgia. I'm trying to think of some other ones that we have. I'm so afraid I was going to forget somebody. Forgive me if I have. Oh, Dorothy. Yes, I knew I would. Mississippi. How could I forget you, beautiful Mississippi? So sorry. So the pastoral team works as a pastoral calling kind of would. To support them and to serve them and what their needs might be. Then we have basic needs of communication and practical. And Lucy leads up our communications team, which involves anything from our newsletter to our web page to whatever, however we need to communicate with those members who are spread across such a large geographical area for us. And then Judy leads up practical. Do I need to explain what Judy does? You've seen her in action for the international team, and she does a great job of that for us as well, and believing God for our finances as well. So that's a little bit of how the Lord just used that, not only to speak to us of what a role in the place of prayer was, but how to serve the Lord and how to serve our family in that place of prayer. Karen, is there anything you wanted to say about that? The second picture I wanted to show you is one that the Lord began working in me a couple years ago as well. And I began to really see the Lord as the bread of life. And I love how Stuart leads communion. And he says, you chew on the bread and you savor the cup. And it frustrates me when I'm in a service and they, before I can get it chewed, they're onto the, you know, they're onto the cup. They're going so fast. I love it. But the Lord began to speak to me about that. But Jesus is the bread of life. And he also says he's the Spirit, the water. And he says that on that day you will be, the Spirit of God will come up in you. And the Word of God says out of John 6 and John 7, where John 6 he talks about I'm the bread of life. And John 7 he speaks about the water of life. And it says he, on that he spoke of the Spirit which had not yet been given. So you have these two beautiful images of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus being that bread for us and that wine or water for us. So the picture I want you to visualize is a family table. Now your family table is going to look different because you're from all countries, and it might be wood, it might be glass, it might be outside, it might be indoors. But in our family of Ask, I like to visualize it's a family table. And around that family, we have some with beautiful gray hair. We have some with not much hair. And I meant those who have just born. I didn't mean newborns. That's what I was trying to say. You have male, you have female, you have the beautiful picture of all generations around this table. And as the Lord began to develop this in me, there was so much I saw about table as well, and I just, you know, that it piques your interest. I encourage you to study the table and how God, Jesus, ministered so often around the table. We think of the Last Supper, we think of the supper we're going to have one day, the marriage around the table. There's a lot to be said about that I won't go into. But he began to say how Jesus meets us at this table. And my husband could not join me on this trip, but when I had breakfast this morning, I sat down across the table from some askers. Mom was sitting beside me, and Betty was sitting across from me. And I had breakfast with them because they were at my table. I didn't have breakfast with my husband because he was not present. If I want to have lunch with one of my children and they're at school or they're at work, I go to where they are. And if you say to a friend, let's have lunch, well, that doesn't mean I'm at my house having lunch, they're at their house having lunch. That doesn't make sense. So it was a beautiful picture that Jesus invites us to that place of intercession where we're sitting directly across from him. And we are looking into his eyes, and we are speaking in a very intimate place with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is our wonderful server, our helper, our communicator. He is serving us through the worship, the drink that we need. He is serving us through the bread of Jesus Christ. So at that table, we have worship, and we have bread. And it is spending time in God's Word, and it's spending God's time in worship. And I'll touch briefly on that we come fasting as part of us and what we do. And we do because we come hungry and thirsty. And I'm very thirsty right now. If you can't tell, my mouth is really dry, so I'm going to have some. But if I were to try to eat a piece of bread before I did that, can you imagine how long it would take me? I mean, I would be. So it's just, it was a beautiful imagery the Lord spoke to me that you take the worship and it refreshes your soul. It prepares you to receive that word of God. Then you are able to take that piece of bread and you have moisture enough in your mouth to chew it and to glean what God wants you to glean out of that. So I love the eye to eye, face to face. And, Lord help me. Real quickly, another thing that he had shown me at that point as far as intercession, I like plays on words. He speaks to me very often through spellings of words and sounds of words. And the word intercession is something we throw around and bounce around. But he showed me one day what intercession was like. If Judy was outside of the room and we're meeting in here, you could say we are in session. Often you would have a meeting, there would be a sign on the door, do not disturb, in session. And if Judy came into the room, she has entered the session. So the Lord began to speak to me that when we enter the place of intercession, we're entering his place of intercession, because the Word of God says in Hebrews, that's what he's doing. And if we were to ask, you know, what is God doing today? He's interceding. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he invites us to his place of intercession. And we ask him face to face,
Father, Jesus, what can we pray with you about today? What do you want to reveal to us? What nation, what country, what part of your bride of Christ do you need me to intercede with you with today? And so it's this beautiful asking. He's waiting for that question, and he wants to respond to us with his answer. The last picture is a very new picture, and it was one that we received probably about 6 weeks ago as a support team that was meeting to plan for some meetings that we're having. And I'll just briefly say in this place that the Lord has put it on our heart to push us a little out of the nest, as it were, feeling a little bit like walking the plank. And because we have come from a beautiful family of Lydia that we honor and respect and cherish, that we begin to realize how we were looking at Ask through still Lydia eyes. And he spoke to us a little about the old wineskin and the new wineskin, and where we felt we had been very liberated in a lot of really good ways. But we began to see in certain ways that we still were looking in old eyes. And with old eyes. And one of those was how we saw Ask. And that had to be dealing with networks. It's something we kept struggling with. What, how does this look for us? What does this look like? And that weekend that we met, the Lord had allowed us an opportunity to visit a church and be a part of some meetings that were going on beforehand. And I'll just share this real quickly. I was helping to facilitate one of these sessions, and I was there to learn, and I was learning and inputting and sharing, and it came around to one of the mornings, and one of the pastors came and said, this is what I feel like we're supposed to do today in this session. It was I loved what they do, and it really pushed us out of the boat, in that they come with no agenda. They come prepared. They have a worship team, and they have facilitators who are prepared to hear the Lord through what God might say, through worship, and through His Word. But spending time in the Word, meditating, was not something that had customarily been a part of their meetings. And this gentleman says, I have a couple of scriptures that I really feel like the Lord's put on my heart today, and I feel like that we're supposed to spend some time in them, maybe meditating or something. I'm just sitting watching this evolve and conversations in the room. And they had been very gracious to ask for input at certain times. And this was one of those times. And they said, I've been very quiet. And they said, well, Chair, what do you have, you know, to bring to the work? So I said, well, actually, what do you think about this? Because I could tell they were trying to decide. This was new. Do they not, you know? And I said, well, actually, this is very comfortable for me. They knew I was with Ask, but they didn't know what Ask was. I said, I'm a part of Ask Network, and this is how we pray. We spend time meditating on the Word. I said, just in a few minutes, we had an opportunity, my first wonderful opportunity, of being able to share it with another ministry, what we do. And then one of the other gentlemen says, well, will you of course, you know what's coming. Will you do that for us this morning? So even though I didn't do the full Lydia Ask model where I did lead them in how to meditate, and we meditated. We didn't actually do the sharing time or the intercession time like we would typically do. There was a seed planted of Ask, and I could tell that they were hungry for that. And I just share that with you to encourage you, if you feel like you don't know how to do that, to trust the Lord, and He will open the doors for that, and He will lead and guide us. And I believe once that door has opened, which you guys are way ahead of us. I'm looking at Stuart and Celia, and I know many of you, Annie and Charlie and Jeannie, y'all partner with a lot of other ministries already with Ask. But for us, it was a final opening of that door, and I believe a lot more will come through that door. So a picture of what networking looks like. Another picture of that was that we continually saw Ask as a group, that you had to meet in a group. But if you weren't meeting in a group and they weren't called Ask, you know, nobody ever really said this. It was just kind of what we all thought, you know. And you need to pray for your prayer partner and then have your group. And then you get your card, you know, to be Asked. You're official Asker. And God just began to challenge us on that. And we really saw ask as being a gift. And I love to tell you what you, the Lord spoke through you last night about that. It's a treasure. And we're to have open-handed. And whoever He wants us to give it to, we give it to. Open, no strings attached. You know, we don't try to recruit. We're not an organization, as Stuart says, but we're organized. And so just a beautiful, there's one thing that kind of we're excited about. We're not saying we're not groups anymore. We're saying we're not restricted to groups. And we have some leaders in a state, like Judy by herself. Judy's very plugged in and very a part of us because she works with our national team. That we have some people in states where there's not even askers anywhere around them. And this one lady had talked to someone on our pastoral team with their call with her, and she said, I just feel real discouraged. I'm really thinking maybe I'm not called to this. I don't have a prayer partner. I pray with a group, but we're not an ask group. You see, all of these entanglements that we realized we still had old glasses on and the old vision, and so the Lord just began to open for us a beautiful door. And, you know, we can say to her, you are doing what God calls you to do. And do not feel that you're not because you have these requirements. And if we've indicated that to you, we want you to know that it doesn't have to be that way anymore. You go and present who the Lord has with you. And she's very involved in the House of Prayer there and has a lot of other ministries as well. So, the passage she began to speak to us out of, let me find it. Wouldn't you know all my bookmarks have slid to the bottom of this stand? Okay, Luke 5. I'm just going to read this passage. I think it will be very relevant considering where we were yesterday. So, and then I'll speak to you what the Lord has spoken to us out of this passage. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your net for a catch, which you all saw yesterday. And Simon answered, Master, you may feel like this, we have toiled all night. Can you hear that? The weariness in his voice. And nothing, with nothing, but at your word. Word, meditators, word of God. We will let down the net. And when they had done so, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were to the point of breaking. They signaled for other partners in other boats to come and to help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the feet of Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I know that has a lot of visualness for me that it never has before. And I know probably you as well from walking in those places just yesterday. But he began to speak, not realizing about a month and a half ago where we would be when he had asked me to share on partnering from this verse, that you can see the beautiful partnering of the brothers and the partnering of the need. And I just believe that as the Lord is doing this new thing in the United States, and I pray that you'll pray this with us and for us, that as we feel maybe like we've toiled a lot, you know, and maybe like that lady, she was ready to give up because she didn't feel like she had met the mark. She hadn't fit the mold. That when the Lord says to let our nets down into the places where he wants us to take as network,
that there will be such a harvest that we are not able to contain. And we know we're not about numbers, but it's about the gift of God that He has given us to the bride of Christ. And that's just so what is on our heart at the moment. And we are just practically, I'll share real briefly, the Lord in the last couple years has really led us. One of those other things of looking through the lens in kind of an old way was in previous years, our focus as a group was really only to be non-personal needs, and that was something that was basically left till the end of your prayer time. And I'm not saying that that will change. I'm just saying the Lord has led us to really, and I was talking to Jenny over dinner about this last night, He's so burdened our heart that we encourage our leaders. He has put that very strongly on our heart, that we invest in them. And we had a time this past fall of gathering this national team that I was describing to you earlier from the lampstand. And then He put it on our heart that we needed to do that for the state leaders and anybody on their teams or anybody leading a group or interested in leadership. And so we've issued an invitation. In just a few months, we'll be gathering in the state of Tennessee and investing in our leaders, in their health as leaders. And Jenny and I were talking about how as people in the United States and in the UK, that we see a need that our leaders are healthy and that they are equipped to be good leaders and to understand what that entails, and that they're not just physically but mentally and emotionally. And we're not taking on their whole, don't get me wrong, you know, we're not taking on their whole well-being, but as pastors and leaders over leaders, that we focus and do what God is asking us to do, to invest in them. And so we'll be doing that in just a few months from now. When we go home, we'll set our faces after we go to Canada in June, which we're very excited about. So again, it was a little bit out of the mold for us. I know, but I know, Celia, you had done something similar to that in the past in Nebraska, and it was very used of the Lord. But just encourage you that's how the Lord is leading us, and just where we have been walking and trying to serve Him and hear Him. Anything? Oh, yes. Coming to the table is obviously a gathering.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, no, no.
No.
I want to say one more thing.
No.
This might be an appropriate time. Can everybody stand up, please? Because Cheryl was talking about leaders and encouraging leaders. There's nothing more encouraging than to have the Lord's Spirit to stir the heart of the leaders. So Charles, can I come and ask you to pray for the Lord to stir the hearts of these leaders and then stir the hearts of the people that we're connected with? Can you come up, please? I'd love you to do that. Yeah. So let's reach out. Let's call out to the Lord.
Hey, Lord.
Raise your hand.
Maybe before we just want to appreciate the time. I'm just asking the Lord to give me time to appreciate the leadership of ASK in America, in the U.S. Shalom and Beverly. Beverly and the team, you have done a great work. And I was asking the Lord, will there be a time for me to just to appreciate you?
Oh,
and
thank
then you.
You
called me. I was just going to thank you.
Told you.
And so we really are humbled so much by the work you are doing. And I feel that what I'm called here to do is to pray that God will give you new strength.
Yeah, and stir the hearts.
And start the leaders to.
Yeah. And move your hands, reach out to the Lord.
I believe that it's very critical, because just want to let you know, and it's very critical for you to know that the strength of ASK is rooted in United States, and the leaders must be stirred, because if we are going to get to the outermost parts, then the leadership in the United States must be strengthened and start. Mm-hmm. And I speak this because I know what I'm speaking about. And I know that the Lord God will have to stir your hearts and stir the leaders, and especially to raise stronger leaders to support, especially what she said was very powerful, below the next generation.
Yes, yes.
I believe it's very strong because many of the leaders are getting very strong in the heart but weak in the body. And I believe that the next generation, the Zerubbabel, the generation need to be stirred to be able to raise up and take the mantle.
Amen.
And be able to move the work of the Lord. Amen. And therefore I want us to raise our hands before God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord Almighty, that Father, we pray that you stir the hearts of the people to build the temple, to build the work of the Lord, O God, to build the house, to build the temple, Lord God, when the men who are so busy with their things and their work, O Lord. But Lord God, you are star the hearts of the people. And Lord God, they rose to build. It was not by their strength, not by their might, not by the vision. But Lord, you star the hearts, O Lord, the leaders. And you star the hearts of the people. And therefore, Lord God, as we stand, we appreciate the great work that has been done by the leadership of the American Ask, O Lord. And we are asking today for a new stirring of the hearts, for the new stirring of the people, for the work, O Lord, O God, my Father, to be renewed, to be strengthened, to be anointed in the name of the Lord, O God, for the work, O Lord God, of asking in the mighty name of the Lord, O God. Almighty God, we pray and we are asking, O Lord, for a new oil, the new oil of the Spirit of God to stir the lives of the next generation, O God, my Father, and to take the work of the Lord. O God Almighty, we are asking, O Lord, for the vision. We are renouncing, O Lord God, that my Father, we will not walk in the old, O God, but in the new, O God, my Father. Lord, O God, we renounce the old, and we take the new, O God. We say, Lord God, there is a blessing in the new, and we pray that, Lord, O God, there will be an arising. And we pray for the oil, flowing from the two trees, O Lord, to oil the vision, to oil, Lord God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit, O God, my Father, of might, and the spirit, Lord God, of counsel, to arise, O Lord God, my Father, the spirit of the fear of God, Lord, to arise, Father God, to drive the vision in America, in North America, in Mexico, in Canada, Lord, for your glory. We are praying, Lord, for the stirring of the vision and the stirring of the calling and the stirring, oh God, my Father. We pray that, Lord God, hallelujah, that men and women will get out from their comfort zone in the place of stay, in the place of consolation. And Lord God, my Father, to arise like Nehemiah, to come out from the place of comfort and to arise to build the house of God and to come to a place of asking and to come to a place, oh God, for asking for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of asking. And Lord, as we receive it, Lord, may it be passed to the next generation for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just continue. You know, I feel like we just need to think of those in our groups and those that we are connected with. Let's just lift them up before the Lord in the Spirit. Let's sing over them. Kalamasa, kalamaha. Kalamasa, kalamaha. glory will fall, that your glory will fall on us, that we would have that mantle to lead and to stir the spirit of our people, Lord, that we would be receptive to your spirit in everything we say and do. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you would energize us just to meditate and pray on your law, pray your word as we finish this time. Lord, that you would strengthen us with your spirit in the inner man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, thank you. And we're going to just do a minute, sorry. Oh, we're going to do a meditation, and Cheryl's going to finish you off. I just want to say one thing, and that's when we pray, can we pray for our meeting, our gathering in Ottawa in June? We're going to pray there, and for the National House of Prayer, and that also is another networking ministry that we have. So I would appreciate your prayers for us in the first week in June. Any of you want to join us? There's still time. So, Cheryl, can you finish what you were saying?
We're only two strands of a triple braided cord, so we need our Mexico strand. So can you pray for us for that? The last thing we wanted to do was to just have a time of meditation and praying out of scripture that the Lord has put on our hearts, and Karen's going to lead us in that, facilitate that for us. There was a couple things that, as Beverly spoke this morning, I felt like were so important to preface this scripture. It was a scripture that he brought to us prophetically through an intercessor who was praying for us, and it was a passage that we knew it was a word of the Lord to us. And I pray as you hear the scripture that you will not only pray for us for the scripture, but you'll pray it for yourself. And that you'll pray it for your country and your nation and your continent. Because I really believe it's something that I think will resonate with you. I think we've heard portions of it since we've gotten here. We just kind of keep looking at each other saying, well, there it is again. So I know that the Lord's word is alive and active and powerful. It does not return void. And I feel like it's kind of the opening of a womb, as Beverly said, just that place of mercy and safety, and where the opposition of is against the opposite spirit of the world, but inviting the spirit of God that we've just talked about. So, Karen.
The scripture that the Lord gave us, and he gave it to us as a word of exhortation. And a word of exhortation is very serious because there is a place of correction in it, but it's a place of great blessing and encouragement. So as you go to the word, I want you to just really see that it's a word of encouragement to us. So I'd like you to turn to James chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then we're going to have a time of meditation on chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and just let the Lord lead you in that. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. So when we got that word, we were like, God, what is that? How could we hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality? And I think it is something to do with glorifying the Lord. If there's something that keeps the Lord from being glorified. When we look at one another with partiality, we do not see one another in completion, but we see each other in part. don't we? And it's an offense to the gospel. It's a serious dishonoring of God's work of grace. But I think after this morning, it's also a serious dishonoring of not seeing the full kingdom of God. It's when we look at each other with partiality, we wrongly put a worth value to human achievement or effort or to its lack. When we first got here, the Lord gave me a picture of a kaleidoscope. Do you all know what a kaleidoscope is? Okay. In the kaleidoscope, there are many pieces, aren't there? They might be broken pieces. And if you looked at each piece individually, there's not much worth to it. But when you put it in the kaleidoscope and you see the completion, all those pieces coming together, and you let the Lord of glory shine through it, you see the beauty of the Lord, don't you? So I want you to think about this scripture. Think about it as Cheryl said, think about it as an individual. Partiality has both a victim and a perpetrator. We are both. When we're a victim, we have to learn how to walk without taking offense. We have to walk in forgiveness. And when we're the perpetrator, we're asking God to open our eyes so that we can behold and see the way He does. Just like the Lord Jesus said, I see what the Father is seeing. I can do what the Father is doing. So I'm going to just pray for us. We're going to just have 10 minutes of meditation. And then we'll lead through prayer. But I'd like to pray from 2 Corinthians as we go to this word, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Lord, we ask for your revelation as we go to this word. And we declare, Lord, that you are the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we ask you to bring us out of this place of seeing in part, and we ask you to show us that great expanse of liberty that you want to bring us into. Lord, as we go to your word, we come with unveiled faces, and we want to look into this mirror. And we want to see your glory by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask now, I know that this is only the beginning, isn't it? Did you get a sense of that? I think as we've gone through this time together, holding this word in our heart, Cheryl and I have just been amazed at how God is unpacking this. So I know that this is going to continue. But I'm going to ask Celia if she'll come up, and I'd like everybody just to stand with her as she just leads us, and I don't know, just leads us as Ask, carries the treasure God gives us into the nations. That we will hold this without partiality.
So an interesting, rather minor detail happened at the beginning of this session. I trapped my finger the day before I left home. And it wasn't until someone pointed out to me just now, in light of Tony's words, that when you have an offended small finger, you're very aware of it and you can't open up your ear. Mm-hmm. And then when you get in a real mess and you suddenly need a band-aid on it, you can't get anywhere near. And this is humility, and I wonder if the little finger is humility. I wonder if we could just kneel while we pray and place ourselves in a place of humility. And if you can't get down, just sit on a chair. Lord, we first want to again come to you as we kneel inside this room. And we declare this as the First Nation, as your nation, the nation you chose to bestow your love upon and display your character in. But we want to kneel on behalf of those seven continental blocks, the seven candles. And we want to come on behalf of the nation that you love. You love every single one, unconditionally and equally, as Peter reminded us this morning. And Lord, you're teaching us to love the nations the way you love the nations, all nations. But Lord, we ask for the baptism of love for our own nation. Because how can we love others if we love ourselves, if we do not love ourselves? Lord Jesus, I choose today to love the United States of America. To love it with an all-consuming love that will not give me rest, that will disturb me, whether it be in the night watches or in the midst of an activity, that will be a love that impassions me, Lord, a love that will keep me on my knees for that nation. And Lord, when I have received that deep baptism of love, then I will know how to love other nations as well. So Lord, we ask that, we humble ourselves now. We need this humility again. We think of that scripture of, again, Caleb's daughter asking her father for the springs to irrigate the land that she already had. And she had to get off her donkey. In this place of being on our knees, we have to confess to you, Lord, we have not got it in ourselves. It is not in our flesh, it is not in our nature to have that sacrificial love that will pour itself out way beyond our energy, way beyond our own preferences, way beyond what we think are our own limitations. Would you take us beyond it all? Would you give us that capacity? And Lord, we confess that this work is not of us. It is not of us. This is something supernatural we're asking for. A love for all nations. That love that remembers every unreached people group to the ends of the earth. And you love it all. You love every people group. You love every tribe. You love every tongue. You love every nation. You love every race. Oh Lord our God, you have never let up in your love. Not for one moment. You have not slumbered, you have not slept. Because you've watched over Israel, but you have watched over all the nations, all the people groups. And for some reason, beyond our understanding, you have invited us into that love.
Yes.
And we ask for it on our knees today. We say, Lord, I've got this work with your word today. But we are so grateful for the opportunity to be guided into it. Therefore, Lord, our God, equip us. And our equipment will be love. It will be love. So baptize us with a love for us.
Yes.
Give us that humility to ask.
Yes.
And so we ask personal love of that. But all-consuming love for us. But an all-consuming love for the nation. Starting with our own.
Thank you.
So help us. Oh God, have mercy. God, mercy. And I, the Lord God, speak unto my people, and I say, even as you have loved me, I will cause you to reach out for the supernatural anointing of love, not just to my people in Israel, but to those who are on the sides, on the borders, those who have been forsaken and neglected. I, the Lord God, say, I will cause you to reach out to these people. I will cause you to love my people in the lands that are hated. And I, the Lord God, say, as you reach out in my spirit, through my spirit, and love these people, I, the Lord God, say, you will see fruit. You will see fruit as you pray. You will see fruit as you go. You will see fruit as you reach out in the spiritual realm. For I, the Lord God, have called my people to love with a universal love.
without partiality. And as you will be obedient to this, saith the Lord God, I will put blessing upon you. I will put blessing upon your household. I will put blessing upon your city. I will put blessing upon your country. For I, the Lord God, say that I have called my people to love, even as I have him. I have loved you with an everlasting love. So Lord, we just pray that you would strip away the things that the enemy has put upon us.
Yes.
We have put upon ourselves, Lord, the prejudice, the barriers, even in our own neighborhood, in our cities. Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus, you would refresh us, that you would renew us, that you would change us, that we would go from glory to glory, that we would learn how to love through your Spirit. Lord, teach us how to love, how to reach out to those who are not like us, how to reach out to those, Lord, and not show partiality to those in our bodies of Christ. And Lord, we ask that we would model what it is to love, that we can only model this as we love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our understanding. Just touch us, Father, with a new touch, a new baptism of your love, as individuals and as us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So Lord, you just say we look forward with joy to being joined with our neighbors and walking in that love. Lord, we look forward with joy to the joy of fellowship and relationship, of being those triple braided cords, of being your body and walking in love and the joy that that brings. We look forward to the joy and we anticipate it and we ask for it, that there would be joy and strengthening, and even in our midst, Lord, that we would feel that strength of being with one another and being networked together in our continents and our countries, that we would know the joy of laboring together and leaning on one another and the joy of being one.
Yes.
And we thank you for that today, God, that we'll no longer operate in part, but operate in one. In one, just as you and the Father are one, God. We ask for that today.
Thank you.